Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm really excited today about our guest. I have Lisa Fain with me, and Lisa is CEO of Center for Mentoring Excellence, a Seattle, Washington-based business that helps organizations create better leaders and more inclusive cultures through mentoring. She is a global keynote speaker and an expert in the intersection of mentoring and inclusion and is passionate about the power of diversity and inclusion to create better workplaces, better teams, and better results. It is my pleasure to welcome Lisa to our show today.
Hi, Belinda. So glad to be here.
Yes. Now, Lisa, you have really got a very timely message right now, so I thought it was important to get you on the show and discuss some of that. But right now, I'd love for our listeners just to get to know you a little bit better, fill in some of the gaps from this bio, and tell us a little bit more about what you're doing today.
Great. Thank you so much. So as you mentioned, I'm the CEO of Center for Mentoring Excellence, and we're spending a lot of time right now on helping people develop mentoring relationships, both virtual, well, everything's virtual, right? But, really creating those relationships across distance and across difference. So learning how to create relationships where you bring who you are wholly to the mentoring relationship, and then really leveraging that so you can create the life and the career that you really desire. We have a book that came out at the end of February called Bridging Differences for Better Mentoring. And we're spending a lot of time really getting the message of that book, which I co-wrote with Lois Zachary, who's both the founder of Center for Mentoring Excellence and actually my mother. So that was really a joy to be able to do that with her as well.
Oh, I bet that was. I bet that was. Now, this is a question that I get asked all the time. So I believe that mentoring is just so important, and people always want to know, how do I find the right mentor? How do you even get a mentor? Like, do I just reach out to somebody that I think I want to be my mentor? Like, this seems to be an area of confusion for a lot of people. So do you have any clarity that you would like to add to that, or advice to our listeners?
Yeah, I think it has to be something that's really intentional, Belinda. So the mistake that a lot of people make is they find somebody who they really admire or who they think has had a really cool journey, and they reach out and right away say, I'd love to enter into a mentoring relationship. The problem with that is you haven't set the foundation yet, for lots of different reasons. So there's two things that have to happen if you decide you want to have a mentor. The first thing is figure out what it is you want to learn before you even choose who that person's going to be. Set the intention of, what do I want to learn from a mentor? Why do I want to have somebody have a mentor? So do I want to learn, in your industry, how to be better at direct sales, right? Or do I want to learn how to prospect better? Do I want to learn how to be a better thought leader, right? So first is the self-awareness. And the second is to build the relationships with the people who you think might want to be a mentor before you even ask them. Why? For a couple different reasons. First of all, you want somebody to be able to be willing to say yes, right? To have that faith in you as a prospective mentee, that you're really able to learn, that you are a rising star, that you can really invest in the relationship. And number two, you want to make sure as a mentee that this is somebody who is going to be able to invest in you and who's going to be able to teach you what you want. A big mistake that people make is they look for a guru, right? Or they look for somebody who's going to say, in my day, this is how it was, and this is what I think you should do, and really impose their own journey upon the mentee. That is not the foundation for a good mentoring relationship. Counterintuitive, right? You think, well, wow, this person's had a great journey. They should be my mentor. But your journey is not going to be my journey. I'm somebody who's different than you in a good way. And so you want to find a mentor who's willing to listen, who's willing to ask questions, who's willing to use his or her wisdom in order to help you grow. So the first thing is, what do you want to learn? The second thing is, build that relationship so you can determine whether this person is going to be a good mentor, and the person can determine whether they're going to really want to invest in you. So how do you do that, right? Well, the thing is, you know, LinkedIn is an amazing tool, particularly now while we're virtual, but build the relationship to get from a place of curiosity and trust. So I might reach out to you, Belinda, if I, you know, want somebody who I know is an expert in direct sales and say, you know, I love what you're doing. You know, I'd love to find out more about this journey. Can we have a virtual coffee, right? And you start the relationship from a place of getting to know each other first. And then I might go back and say, wait a minute, you know, I know Belinda's a great listener. She's really curious. Does she have the time? Does she have the willingness? And then I'd make the ask specifically. But I often liken it, and this is great for some, for, you know, the millennials and Gen Z, they can kind of appreciate this analogy, which is, if you're dating somebody, you're not going to ask for a long-term relationship on the first date just because you think they might be a cool person, right? You really want to get to know them and make sure that it's a match. And the same is true in a mentoring or professional relationship. As you know, I imagine you do a lot of mentoring, and I do too. I want to hook my wagon to a rising star. I want to know that somebody is going to be able to listen and is going to really have a unique journey that I can understand. And as a prospective mentor, you know, I want to be able to understand that from somebody when I talk to them before I agree to be their mentor. So it's really the getting to know you piece is really important.
I couldn't agree more. I know for myself, I have people that reach out to your point exactly, but I'm just going to put it in sort of real life. I have a lot of these. Hi, I really admire what you do, and I want to be just like you. And could I pick your brain? Or I would love it if you would mentor me. And it's like, I don't even know you. I don't know where you came from. And it's almost like they're not honoring that long-term work that you've done. It's, I have so many people go, I want to become a speaker, and so I would love you to share how you did it. And it's like, okay. But I don't have any relationship with the person at all. So I get a lot of those. And
yeah,
what I
pick your brain is frustrating sometimes, isn't it?
Yes,
I get a lot
is.
Of those too. Yeah.
I'd like to pick your brain. Well, yeah. And so a lot of other people would, but you know,
yep.
Who's going to be that audience? Now, I remember there's two people that come to my mind that I've ended up mentoring over the years. But they both started with, I have your program. I've been following it. This is the result I have seen. Thank you so much. You've been so helpful in my journey. I just have a question for you, or I'd like to understand this a little bit better. And so I might give them that information. Sometimes I just email it to them, or I might text message it. And then they send me back and say, oh my gosh, here's what I did with that. And here was my result. Now, could have I done this a little bit differently? It's like, then I start like having conversations back and forth with them. And then pretty soon it's just easier for me to pick up the phone and just share my expertise, just like in that piece. So like, I can think of two people that's how we started out. And then it became a long-term mentoring situation, of which I'm still very good friends with both of those people. And it wasn't like, I don't know you. I've never followed your programs. I haven't seen any results, but I know that you're at the top of your game. Some people even write that to me. I know that you're the best, so I'd love you to share this with me. It's like, well, thank you, but like, what have you invested into this?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you have to build relationship
mm-hmm.
before you make that ask. You really do. You have to show not just that you're willing to learn, but just an entitlement. There's no entitlement to pick somebody's brain, right? You know,
right.
You give out this is knowledge that you're obviously passionate about and want to share. But if you're going to invest in somebody's journey, there has to be a relationship, a filling of your bucket. A mutual filling of the bucket, right? It's not just a one-way thing, but absolutely. I love what you said of, here's what I tried. Here's how it worked. I have a specific question. I'd love to understand more. And the second piece, Belinda, of what you said that is so, so, so important is the follow-up. I implemented, and here's how it worked, or here's how it didn't work, right? And really circling back for that follow-up is a great way to establish a relationship so that you can have a really healthy, productive mentoring relationship. But you don't start from ground zero and dive right in, just as you wouldn't ask somebody to marry you on the first date.
I love that analogy because I think that really does make it simple then to understand and how sometimes ridiculous that people are. I think they're just so eager, you know, in their defense, and they're eager and somebody has told them you should reach out. And, you know, it just, it's funny because someone told me when early in my career, there was a gentleman and they're like, you need to know him. He is amazing. He will give you so much insight. It's just somebody you need to know. And so I reached out to him and I didn't say, will you mentor me? I've heard that, you know, this, I really need to be talking with you. I did leave him a message and I was just kind of out there. I said, every time I turn around, your name keeps coming up in conversations that I'm having and everyone is saying that I need to know you. And I would just love to meet you, introduce myself, and tell you what I'm doing right now. And that's all I said. That's the message I left. And he called me back and I didn't say, why don't you teach me everything you know? We had some lovely conversations. We found people that we had mutual friendships with and some things that I was doing. And but then I also was able to give him some information about like kind of what was going on in the industry from a different perspective. From at that time, I was only in, you know, my 30s and he was coming toward the end of his career. And so I was able to give him some insights of what was happening right now. So there was added value to both. But we didn't end up having like a 2-hour or 4-hour conversation. We had multiple conversations into a friendship now that has lasted for over 25 years. So I did just do a reach out, but I didn't say, I want to pick your brain. I want you to be my mentor. I just said, your name keeps coming up in conversations as someone I need to know. I'd love to introduce myself. That was it.
I love that. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, it's with intention, right? And you may not even have known that there would be a mentoring component that would come from it. You know, when you were speaking, Belinda, what came to mind for me is something that I wanted to mention that I neglected to mention. So let me say it now, which I think is really important. When you have this mutuality of contacts, right? You know, that's one of the beauties of something like LinkedIn is you don't necessarily need to know the person to connect with them. So let me give you a real life example that's happening for me right now. You know, I always believe that people who mentor and people, everybody needs a mentor. And I'm at a stage right now where I'm looking for a mentor in a particular area that I'm looking to develop. I don't know that person. I have, you know, I don't know who that is yet, but I know people who know people, right? And I know people who, you know, I'm looking in a particular area of thought leadership, I'm looking for a mentor. So I have called 2 or 3 people who I really trust. And I've said, look, here's what I want to learn. I don't know who the person is. I know what they know. Who do you know that might be good for me to introduce myself to? And that's where I'm starting in my own journey, in my own search for a mentor in this area, in that particular area of thought leadership. And it's been really exciting to start to see some names. As it happens, some of the names that have been referred to me are people that I am connected to, but I didn't know I was connected to. But having the mutuality and the referrals and the, frankly, the guts to ask people who you should be talking to is a really great way to find a mentor. You don't just have to rely on cold calls and you don't just have to rely on the people within your network. That use your network to expand your network and share what your learning goal is, because people want to help you when you have that kind of intentionality.
Absolutely. And I always say that the 5 most powerful words in your language for building any kind of business is who do you know who? And if you can get a referral from anyone, it's going to be much better than, like you said, a cold call. And I did on that first call say, you know, several people have said, I need to know you. But one in particular, and it was someone that he really, really liked, like that is somebody important to him. And so because she referred me, he thought, OK, this is, and he even told me when you mentioned Diane, I was like, I love her. And so I just thought I'll reach out and, you know, and have a quick conversation with you. But like I said, that ended up turning into, you know, 25 years. I've actually gone and stayed at his house. My entire family has, and in Maine, and it was absolutely wonderful. And we have continued that relationship. So, but it sure didn't start out that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what you're saying really, that's so true. And it just occurred to me to say it in this way. Mentoring is not a transaction. Mentoring is a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody says, can I pick your brain? What they're asking for is a transaction, right? Belinda, can you download to me all the stuff that you know? Sure. How much time you got, right? But, you know, instead, mentoring is a relationship. And how do you develop that relationship? Mentoring relationships can evolve over time. To your point, they can become friendships. They can become business. It can be a source of future business. But you really have to invest in a relationship and not indicate that you're looking for a transaction.
Right. I think that's a very, very good way to put it. So, Lisa, tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you come to be in the position to work doing mentorship and thought leadership? So what was your background?
Yeah, it's sort of a red thread that I see looking back, but I never could have predicted it going forward. So I started my sort of postgraduate career as an attorney. I was a management side employment lawyer at a large law firm when I was living in Chicago. And I what I loved about employment law is I could do counseling and I could do litigation and the whole, you know, I like a lot of variety and that sort of is always exciting to me. I loved the counseling of clients. I didn't love the litigation, but it was a case of be careful what you're good at. And I was a good litigator and I sort of was working very, very hard and had two kids while I was practicing law. And one day, I should say one morning, because I had two babies at home and I was pulled an all-nighter. I was still in my suit from court the day before and went downstairs to get some breakfast, came back upstairs. And, you know, this is another generational thing. There was a red light on my phone and you and I know what that means, a voicemail, but there are other people who may not know. I didn't take a cell phone with me at that time. And I checked my voicemail and it was my 4-year-old oldest daughter who had left me a message. And she had said, mommy, come home. We need a mommy, not a lawyer. And it was the best, worst gift ever. I was devastated. And I realized that I wasn't living my values of balancing, I don't believe in balance, but integrating family and work. I quickly searched for another job to do more of what I loved, which was the counseling and the proactive creating of helping people create a fair and equitable workplace. I moved to a company that was growing and getting ready for an IPO. The IPO didn't end up happening, but we did get bought by a larger company, and I was their in-house employment counsel when I really realized the importance of diversity and inclusion. We had a very diverse customer base and not as diverse a leadership or employee base as I think I had thought we needed. And I had mentioned that to my boss, who was an amazing leader. And he had said, why don't you try to do that? And I said, but I'm the lawyer. I'm not the diversity and inclusion person. And he said, I think you can figure it out. And he was right. If you give me a challenge and it's an area that I'm interested in, my superpower is sort of digging deep and figuring stuff out. So I did. And I ended up leading and building the diversity and inclusion function, including a network of employee resource groups. And as I was doing that, I got a coaching certification because I really felt like I needed that. And one day, so in the course of that, Belinda, I developed really a passion for the power of relationships from my employment, from my legal employment world. I saw how important it is to have healthy working relationships where you grow and develop people. And from my diversity and inclusion world, I discovered how important it is to have different opinions and different backgrounds. And from my coaching now experience, I really discovered how important it is to invest in learning and growth. So our women's group had wanted a mentoring program. As it happens, my mother had written 6 books on mentoring and had founded the Center for Mentoring Excellence. And in sort of our regular check-in phone conversation, without any intention of hiring her, she asked what was going on. I said, our women's group wants a mentoring program. And she said, why don't you bring me in to do it? And I said, Mom, I manage a P&L. I can't go to my boss and say, let's hire my mommy. You know, that's not going to work so well. And she said, you know what? Let me do this for you. And I don't know if you've ever had a moment like this, Belinda, but she came in, she's training the mentors and the mentees for the women's mentoring program. And I'm looking down and I'm taking notes, and I almost sort of lost my sense of place because I had an aha moment where I'm taking notes and I'm like, this is really good. This is the marriage of what I'm passionate about and what my mother's legacy is. And, there's something here. You know, it was like it just kind of struck a chord in me. And I look up and I'm like, this woman's really good. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my mom.
That's and funny.
I realized then that I, you know, the diversity and inclusion stuff is really powerful. It's important to have leadership buy-in. It's important to have really good programs. But where you're really going to make a change in the workplace is in developing relationships across difference. And it was like somebody had put that on a billboard in front of my eyes. You know, I really had just realized that so strongly. And so I ended up leaving the corporate world and joining her in 2015, sort of part-time while I was still working part-time at in the corporate world, and full-time in 2016, and took over as CEO January 1st of 2018 when she retired. We wrote this book together in 2019, and it's really been a wonderful journey. I think the entrepreneurial world is really the right fit for me. I love being able to create. I love being able to leave a legacy to, you know, carry on her legacy, but also to really share the message of the importance of mentoring relationships and the importance of bringing your entire self into the mentoring relationship and really becoming uniquely you is something that really resonates with me. So long story about a circuitous journey that's led me to where I am today.
Well, that's awesome. And I think that you've answered actually a couple of our key questions. One definitely being your sort of superpower or greatest skill sets. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that? Because I do think that it is really important for people to pick out different things that have helped other people sort of really hone in on their success journey. Like, what are your skill sets?
Yeah. So the first I mentioned, which is I love a good challenge. I love discovering what I'm interested in. I'm one of those people that if I find a topic that I haven't heard of, but that sounds interesting, I'll go down the rabbit hole of research. And actually, in that way, I feel like Google's a really good thing because it helps expand who I am. It helps expand what I learn, and I can ask questions. And so that's kind of superpower number one. I would say the other superpower is I am great at reading people and asking questions, being curious about what I'm seeing. So I, you know, they say that, you know, what people say is only a small part of what the meaning is. You can tone and body language account for so much more than the actual words. And I really can see and read those other things and get curious about them. And so therefore, it helps me really relate to people and be curious about what's behind it. I am so proud of the relationships that I have with people because I'm always wondering, you know, I always wonder what does that mean? You know, what do you mean by that? And I saw you nod and I see that this might be a little bit uncomfortable. What's that about? Or, you know, I'm wondering, what's going through your head right now? And asking those kind of questions has really helped me develop relationships that are deep and with people who have, you know, significant visible and invisible differences from me and have really helped me learn from them.
That's awesome. So we're going to talk right now about a challenge or a tough situation that you went through and kind of how you overcame that. But then I also want to address, you know, the challenge that a lot of people are going through right now and some of the best ways to work through the quarantine situation that we're all in. So why don't we start with one of your greatest challenges or obstacles?
You know, I've pivoted a lot. I pivoted from being a lawyer to, you know, being a law firm lawyer to being an in-house lawyer to going into diversity and inclusion. My career in between college and law school was in the not-for-profit world, so there was a pivot there as well. And then, you know, again, to being an entrepreneur, writing a book, thought leader, all of these pivots. And each time as many of us do, I had all sorts of doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, this imposter syndrome that so many of us, you know, suffer from, which mm-hmm. is, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. Who am I? You know, who am I to say I'm an entrepreneur? You know, even though I went to law school, who am I to say I'm a lawyer and I can practice law, right? I mean, it's muddling through that and taking one step forward and then and really working on that mindset shift has been such a challenge and such a victory at the same time. And I think everybody really, everyone suffers from that in some way. My own, you know, research and experience shows that women do so in a really unique way to men. And we hold ourselves back. We wait until we feel 100% ready. And so I certainly did that a number of times. And learning to go forward when I'm not, when I don't feel 100% confident has really been a challenge and a victory for me.
Great. And what advice do you have for folks that are sort of going through this challenge right now by working from home or being quarantined to their homes?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the really exciting things about what's happening now is we are wanting and needing connection in a way that we don't when we can be physically with people. And I think the way through this challenge right now is to create those connections with intention. It is a great time to think about, what do I want to learn? Who do I want to connect with? And really reaching out, because people are hungry for it. Not in the way that we talked about before of how can I just, you know, pick your brain and, you know, how can somebody download, but in a way of mutuality and thinking, you know, the best way to leverage what's happening right now is to think, what am I curious about? What do I want to learn more about? And who and how can I learn more about it? I've been really, really interested in a certain aspect of marketing, and I've been Googling it, looking at who's writing about it, following the people who are experts in it on social media, connecting with them through my comments on it, and then reaching out and saying, you know, I've been really interested in what you're doing here. There's a nice synergy with what I'm doing in the mentoring world. You know, would you love to have, I'd love to have a conversation with you to see if there's, you know, a chance for potential collaboration. And that connection has always been welcome. And it's not because of my own credibility. It's because of my own efforts in really reaching out and nurturing those relationships. So to answer your question, Belinda, I think the best way to leverage our time of, you know, social isolation or physical isolation is to create social connection. I have a colleague who has encouraged me not to call this social distancing. He said, call it physical distancing. And I said, why is that so important to you? And what he said is, if we make this about social disconnection, then we've missed an entire opportunity. This is an opportunity to create connections, to be social in a different way, despite the physical difference. And that's really stuck with me throughout this time.
I think it has been interesting of reconnecting with people or figuring out something that you might want to learn during this time. It's I know for me, I've gone back to some of those relationships that I just haven't had time for. But I also think suddenly people value people more. It's funny, I've been going on walks. And I generally walk on this trail, but the other day I didn't have time to get down to the trail and then walk, you know, my normal walk. I thought, I've only got about an hour here and I'll just kind of walk around my neighborhood and then the two neighborhoods that are sort of connected to mine. And I've done that numerous times. Like, it depends on how long I have, and I've got my little like route, you know, down that I take. And so I head out on it, and it was a fairly sunny day here, which we haven't had a lot. And so I'm walking, and I think it was 8 different times I got stopped by people out on their porch. Hey, how's it going? How you doing today? People that I have been out and done that walk so many times, and not a single living soul has ever spoken to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That was just fun. And it was clear that people just really wanted that interaction. And I thought, how nice, because I ended up having a really good conversation with this one woman. And she asked, then we ended up asking me a couple questions, and then I was able to give her some information that she was wanting, all because I said, hey, I'm wondering if the trail cuts through here, or do you have to go all the way around? And she said, no, it doesn't cut through, you know, it's a dead end. And so then I was like, well, that's unfortunate. And she's like, yeah, I know it is. And so then, but then we ended up talking about something completely different. And I don't even know this woman. And it was just a really nice, lovely conversation. And I just think,
and now every time you go on that walk, you're going to think about the people who live along the the street, and I really have much more of a connection. I love that. It's such a great example.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. So let's talk about what working from your happy place means to you.
Oh, well, I love to design my days. I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of the paper planner, which I know is sort of old school, but when I can sit down in my office, you know, before social distancing, sometimes it was a coffee shop, sometimes it was a co-working space, sometimes it was it was my home office, but really designing my day in a way that is about impact, it's about variety, and it's about, you know, intention is really what I feel like my happy place is about. And, you know, as you can tell, relationship is really, really important to me. So every single day, there's some form of connection with people. It's so gratifying. You know, I do a fair amount of traveling when the world is normal. And I love those opportunities for connection. And initially when I would go and I would hole up in my home office or my virtual office, I would, you know, lament that I wasn't having those same connections when I was home. And I really vowed to change that on a daily basis. You know, every single day, I'm able to, reach out. Sometimes it's a text, three texts to friends. Sometimes it's some kind of combination, but there's always three connections that really make my day, you know, that anchor my day. That's about happy place, but it really is about connecting with impact and figuring out, you know, who can I connect with? How can I have an impact today? The mission of our organization is very aligned with my personal mission, which is to create better workplaces through mentoring and better workplaces and better leaders through mentoring. So I'm so mission driven, and I love thinking at the end of the day, how did I kick the can forward on getting closer to my mission? So I, you know, a little all over the place, Belinda, but really what I'm trying to say is having a day that I can design where there's variety, where there's connection, where there's impact, and really moving the day forward with some flexibility is so important to me.
So Lisa, let's talk about, you've had now four different career shifts, basically. And we have a lot of people out there that would love some advice on how do they make that career shift, that change, or advice on being an entrepreneur because they want to have better quality time or whatever that is of working from their happy place. So would you like to elaborate on just a couple of tips that you think are important for people to follow?
Yeah, I think the first is, you know, to quote Nike, just do it. Listen to, and by that I mean, you know, you want to do your homework, you want to do your research, you want to make sure that there's a market for what you want and all of that. But listen to the voice that says, that where you are now isn't what suits you. I stayed way too long at the law firm that I was at. It wasn't that it was a bad place. It just wasn't the right place for me. I would have been much better served once I knew that it wasn't a good fit to have thought about what was next. So the first is just do it by listening. Listen to that voice. The second is find out how you want to design your time. You know, are you somebody who needs that connection? Are you somebody who needs to be out and about? What is that? Do you want to need to work in a team or on your own? So, and then just don't wait until you're 100% ready. Don't let that voice of doubt, don't let that feeling of imposter syndrome hold you back. If you have the idea and you have the passion, you're ready now.
So you've mentioned this a couple of times now, this imposter syndrome, and I know that a lot of people struggle and suffer with this. So do you have any just quick tips on how to best power through that, or how do you get over this imposter syndrome?
Yeah. The first is that, you know, it's imposter syndrome is really about fear, right? It's about fear that you aren't going to succeed. It's about fear that somebody won't think that you're qualified. I want to address both of those. So the first thing is there really are two kinds of fear, right? There's the fear that you have when you like run into a bear right. or a robber or whatever. And then there's a fear that is more about awe, you know, A-W-E awe. That's like, oh my God, what's going to happen if, but it's more about excitement and uncertainty. And the problem with these two kinds of fear is that they can often feel the same in your body, but the response to them is different, right? Mm-hmm. If you run into a robber or a bear, the best thing to do is run the heck in the other direction, right?
Right.
You want to run away from it, right? But if you have the other kind of fear, the best thing to do is to move forward. It's actually like your body's chemical response saying, go forward. And so knowing that the right response, just knowing sometimes intellectually that the right response to what's an emotional feeling is to move forward is really, really important. So that's thing one about fear. Thing two is a lot of times the fear is, what if people don't think I'm qualified? What if people don't like what I do? And the truth is, if you are on a path that's right for you, that people will come along. There will always be doubters. There will always be people who aren't resonating with your message. And as my husband, who never minces words, always tells me, if you're not pissing somebody off, you're not taking enough risk. And I think that there's something involved in that too, right? So often, particularly as women, but men feel this too, they worry, what if people don't have faith in me? What if people don't think I'm doing the right thing? Letting go of that worry or holding on to that worry and doing it anyway is really the best way to overcome imposter syndrome. And I, you know, it's a little woo-woo, but I believe if you have the idea and you have the passion, then it's your obligation to try to make that come to life. And thinking about it as a duty and an obligation, the thought and the idea wouldn't be planted if it wasn't something worth exploring.
Absolutely. And to add just to that piece of it, I think that oftentimes if you will just do it, you know, you just go out and you just power through and you're going to find the right people, but those people connect you to other people, just like what we've talked about throughout this entire interview here. But I also think sometimes what you first originally picture ends up maybe taking a twist or a turn or a curve, and then but you end up finding your place that it really does fit. And so, but if you don't ever take that step, if you don't ever move out into that journey, you'll just stay stuck in the exact same place that you are.
100%. Stuck is not a good feeling.
No.
And we often say, like, you know, we often feel like stuck is something that's external. Somebody else is making me stuck, but stuck is really something that's internal. There's always more learning to do. There's always, and by the way, the last piece of advice that I didn't think about for imposter syndrome, but that's really important, is everybody thinks it has to be a big step forward. Sometimes the best way to get through imposter syndrome is just a little teeny baby step, then take another one, then take another one, then take another one, as opposed to making a great big leap. Sometimes that can help you get over feeling like an imposter as well.
I agree 100%. So this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. You've shed so much light on a variety of topics. So let's talk about some new and exciting things that you're working on right now that you think maybe our listeners could benefit from, as well as tell everybody how they can find you.
Great. So I am now working on getting the word out about our book, the book I wrote with Lois Zachary called Bridging Differences for Better Mentoring. It's a great guide for creating meaningful relationships across difference, whether in a mentoring relationship or a working relationship. So that's thing one. We're working on a course for that. We have an online course that I'm super excited about as part of our Starting Strong program, which helps mentors and mentees create a meaningful mentoring relationship, particularly in their first 90 days. You can We actually also just finished a Monday Mentoring Minutes series, which you can find on the Center for Mentoring Excellence Facebook page. It's 4 really short interviews with experts on how to mentor in times of crisis and uncertainty. So those are 3 things. People can find me on our website, centerformentoring.com. And all social media as well. And then my email is lisa@centerformentoring.com.
Perfect, Lisa. Well, thank you so much for sharing with our listeners today. And I want to thank each and every one of you tuning in, checking out the podcast. And I appreciate all of you so very much. The best way that you can show your appreciation also is to leave a review. Give us some comments about what you like about the show and especially about Lisa's interview today. But also, don't forget to subscribe, because when you subscribe, then you will never miss a single episode, and it certainly helps us in our ratings and such. So we appreciate that so very, very much. And with that, thank you all again for tuning in to Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.